individual will has any bearing on which way we go. So, there are a few verses that I'd like to have us look up when we think about the sovereign will of God to help us understand that is the foundation by which when we want to understand the rest of His will for us, we need to know that He is sovereign. And by sovereign, we simply mean that He is superior to all. He is supreme. He has no equal. There is no one who is above Him. There is no one equal to Him. We are all beneath Him. And when Philippians 2 tells us that every knee will bow, that includes all those who are kings. Anybody who has ever been in a position of headship of a nation will bow, no matter how much they think others should bow to them. They will all bow to the Lord because He is supreme and there is no equal to Him. So I'd like us to begin looking at just a couple. Psalm 50 and verse 1. Psalm 50 and verse 1. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. That tells me that He is in control of the movement of the worlds. That as the earth and the other planets rotate around the sun, He is in control of that. He is the one who controls the rotation of the earth around the sun, and not only so that it rotates around the sun, but that when it says it's going to be dawn, it is dawn. And when the sun sets at night, it is nighttime. He is the one who controls that. He is sovereign over all of those. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast created the heavens and the earth, and with Thy strong arm, You have created them all. Psalm 135 and verse 6. Another verse speaking about His sovereignty. The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth and the seas and all their depths. God has control of everything in the universe, and not only does He have control of it, He has a sovereign will for it. Nothing that happens, there isn't a kingdom, a king, a people group, there isn't any, they might be challenged. They might challenge the Lord's authority, but there will never be anyone who can subvert it, or we may defy it, but it will always come to pass because it says that He does what He pleases. He is sovereign. And there is a will that He has not necessarily revealed to us that will take place that involves all of the nations. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. I've got a whole bunch more, but for sake of time, we'll pass those up. There are some great passages that reveal to us that God is in control of it all. He is sovereign in every respect. Daniel, while you're turning there, Daniel 4:35 indicates that the plans of God will never be thwarted by the means of man. We can say we're going to do this or that, but when God says, Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says that His word will not return void, when He speaks, it happens. Genesis 1, when He spoke, what happened? The worlds came into existence. Not taking from something and making something else, but taking from nothing and making what we see. When He speaks, it takes place. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our God and our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. And Scripture speaks about the fact that not only did He create, but He has the power to hold it all together. He keeps you from floating off in space. Someone, my college professor once said that if God were even just for a fraction of a second, were to forget about us, we would cease to exist. So when you think about the complexity of the universe, not just this galaxy with the billions of stars and then the multitudes of millions of galaxies and the multitude of billions of stars in each of those galaxies, and He not only knows them by name, but holds them in place, and you think about who we are and He knows where we are, He has the ultimate GPS system on us. He is sovereign. We can't go any further in knowing the will of God unless we first of all establish the fact that He is in control and has a sovereign will for us, for everything. Not only God has a plan, God controls that plan, and God's plan is ultimately for His glory. So He is sovereign. He has a will because He is sovereign, and that will is going to take place. Secondly, I want us to consider that God has a moral will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us that it is God's will that we as believers be sanctified, that we be holy, that we be like Him in character. And I want you to understand that God's moral will isn't just for believers. It is for everyone. It is for all times, any culture, any people, any era. It is for all. It isn't just for the people who adhere to this book, whether Jews in the Old Testament or to us as believers now. It is for everyone, and God's moral law is to be followed. He is the standard, and we need to adhere to it. He has a moral will for each of us, and it is revealed to us in here. Your word is a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my... You know what it is. It guides us. The Ten Commandments are a part of that moral will. When Paul wrote to the Colossians or the Ephesians and he says, you know, put off this, put on this, it's his moral will. There are principles that guide us. We can look through the Proverbs and see that there are principles that are a part of His will that He needs us to obey. If He is sovereign over all things and He has established a moral will for us to follow, we need to adhere to it, because how many would agree with me that says, if I don't obey God and His moral will, how many of us are going to follow through and do what God's individual will is for us? It's going to be more difficult. So He has revealed all of His moral will to us in this book. And we need to understand that we need to be in this book. Would you agree? If I'm not, how can I know what His will is? But that doesn't excuse me if I don't know what His moral will is because I am not in His book. It still doesn't excuse me because God has placed within us, Romans 1 tells us, a conscience that knows who God is really deep down. And so that moral will is revealed to us, and we need to be in His Word. And so it doesn't matter that somebody who's not a part of Christianity in reading His Word doesn't obey it. They still are going to be held to the same moral will as anybody else. It is the will of a department store that I know that if anybody shoplifts, they're going to go to jail. They're going to be prosecuted. I go into a store to shop, I read that sign, and now I have a choice. I can either adhere to it and go about my way and be glad that I did, or know that if I shoplift, that if I'm caught, I'm going to be prosecuted. Doesn't matter if I'm not caught, I'm still going to be prosecuted because the Lord knows. God has given us His moral will through the Bible, and I need to be in it and I need to adhere to it, because it is going to be more difficult for me to know what God's individual will is if I'm not obeying His moral will. And so if I am not obeying His moral will, I need to repent, because I think repentance is a key part of knowing what God's individual will when He wants to reveal it to us. I must obey His will. John 14:21 says that he that has my commandments, my moral will, and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will make myself known to him. I will manifest. So God, if I am obedient to his word, if I love him and doing what his word says, then he is going to reveal himself to me. And not just reveal who he is, but he is going to reveal what he wants me to do. I think that's all a part of him showing me, making himself known to me. So there is his sovereign will, there is his moral will, and there is his individual will. God's individual will always, and I want to underscore that, always, God's individual will always includes his moral will. It always includes him wanting me to do right, to be obedient to his word. Always. Always. So I come to that point in recognizing that he has an individual will for me. And in that individual will for me, he desires, as I said, he wants us to be saint. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to draw in relationship with him. Sometimes we go to God because he's the great information giver. Have you ever done that? You don't have to raise your hands. I will. God, I need to know this. And so we look to him for information rather than relationship. And that's what God wants. But I think the more that we desire to know God, the greater capacity he has and will reveal to us what he wants us to do. Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that he's going to give you anything you want. It just means that as I desire God, as I delight myself in him, then what he wants and what I desire are going to be compatible. They're going to be the same. Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God. It's a joy. He wants us to be drawn into relationship with him. And the closer in relationship with him we are, I believe, the clearer it becomes, because we have already established the fact that we are going to live in obedience to his moral will and striving to do that. Then he's going to reveal more of his individual will to us because we desire him. And he's going to make some of those things clear. And that's why I think that Paul and, I was almost ready to say it again, Timothy and Silas, could be certain about the direction that the Lord was leading them, because they were already adhering to his moral will. And now the individual will was just made that much more clear. They didn't have... Sin is a great restrictor of God's revelation to us of what he wants us to do. If I'm in disobedience, I need to repent so that I can hear what God has for me to do. And I think that's where Paul and his companions were. God's word doesn't specifically reveal his individual will, but I believe there are some principles or guidelines in Scripture that help determine God's leading in an area. You may be looking for all kinds of answers. You have questions. God, what's your will about a job? What's your will about school? What's your will about retirement? What's your will about any number of things? And while it's not revealed in Scripture that you should take this particular job, or you should move here or live in this house or buy this car, I believe that there are some principles from Scripture that will help us. And the first is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We looked at this last week, and so some of this is going to be repetition. And so I want you to hear it again, whether you got it last week or not, isn't the point. I want to remind you, if you didn't get it last week, you're going to get it again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. When the way seems unclear, keep trusting that God will reveal those next steps. Don't fall back on your own limited abilities. See, I was thinking about this last week. Would I rather trust a God who has created everything, than a guy who has limited abilities, limited vision, limited foresight? Would I rather trust a God who is sovereign in all areas, or would I rather trust myself who was a B student? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean in your own understanding, but in all your ways, everything, not just in the big things, but how can we learn to trust God in big things if we haven't learned to trust Him in the little things? If we can't trust Him in His will for these little areas, how am I going to trust Him in the big things? So trust in the Lord. Remember to trust God. That's the first thing. The second thing is to remember that everything has a purpose by God. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for you. Remember that in everything, God's purpose, even if it seems a hard path to follow, is the right path to follow. Would you say amen? We may not understand why, but God's purpose will be made clear eventually. So we need to remember that God has a purpose in everything. The third thing, as I look at Romans 12:1-2, is to remember to die to self and renew our mind. See, I can't follow God's will if I still want to have control of things. If God is sovereign, He needs to be sovereign in my life as well. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's that dying to self. You're holy, you're acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that I need to renew my mind. If I'm going to know the will of God in an individual base, in things that I'm asking the Lord to do, I need to renew my mind. I need to have His word implanted in my life. Don't let the world influence you or your decisions, but rather renew your mind through God's word. Being in the word will help our mind be unclouded so that we can hear God's voice speaking and leading. There are so many tools today available to know God's word. We need to avail ourselves of those. Make God's word a priority. The fourth thing is that we need to remember to ask wisdom. James 1, verses 5, 6, and 7 tell us that if we lack wisdom, we should do what? Ask. God, which way do you want me to go? I'm sure that's what Paul was saying. They got to Troas. Okay, Lord, you've led us. We've followed you this far. Where do we go now from here? They asked. They wanted to know. They wanted to be clear. And so if we're going in a certain direction, uncertain about which way God wants us to take, and we come to that place of uncertainty, we ask. But He says, ask in what? Faith. Don't doubt. We go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ask, don't doubt. Ask in faith. Ask these questions. Is it the wise thing to do? If I do it, what will be the outcome? Who will it affect? Don't get discouraged if God says no or if it seems unclear still. Continue to ask. How many would agree with me that God doesn't want to keep His will a secret? Because through His will in your life, He wants to get glory. And so if it's buried somewhere and God doesn't want to give, then He's getting nothing from us. God, we need to know. So we are asking because we want to give you glory for it. And so there's a passage in Philippians that I think is perhaps key to all of this. Trusting, praying, remembering that God has, that we need to die to self, all those things. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will transcend your heart. When we are looking for God's will and we're uncertain about what it is, I think that when Paul and his companions were traveling, they had God's peace. Even though they weren't to go into Bithynia, where do we go now? They still had a peace that settled them because they were trusting the Lord. And so if you want to know God's direction, He will give you peace as you pray about it. That's what I believe Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is telling us. That not just about other things, about medical exams and about tests and about all these other life events, but when God's will is important for us to know, He will settle us with His peace so that we understand where it is and what He wants us to do. When it comes to wanting to know God's will, do I come to Him in reverence and humility? Do I recognize who it is that I'm coming into the presence of? Do I remember who I am addressing, that He is sovereign? Am I teachable? Am I obedient? Do I want to know God's will? And then am I willing to do it? Do I ask for wisdom to discern it versus going my own way, my own desires? Am I seeking Him through Scripture? Am I seeking His will through research? I think about Nehemiah, hearing about the destruction of the wall at Jerusalem and so many miles away and unable to do anything because of his position as cupbearer to the king. And so praying about God's will, okay, God, you have laid this on my heart. And so he began to do things. He began to prepare. If the king were to let me go, this is what I would do. This is what I would need. And so he did research, not just for him, but if the king said, no, I need you here, then he could at least hand off those the pieces of research that he had done to say, this is what you need and what will take place if you do this. So he did his homework. Am I seeking his will through wise counsel? Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. When you have sought God's will through prayer and through a study of Scripture and you're still uncertain, it's always a good thing to ask somebody else who you admire and respect, because they're going to have a word of wisdom. Share what you've been praying for. Share how you have been praying, because that will reveal your heart. Is it your will that you're wanting to do, or is it God's will? They'll be able to discern that and give you some advice. So seek wise counsel. God has a will for each of us today. God requires submission to Him and obedience to Him. Paul, Silas, Timothy continue to preach the gospel all the while, wondering where else now should we go, because everything seems to be closed and the Lord revealed it to them. So I ask this morning as we close, what is it today that you're asking about for God's will? If He has revealed it to you, are you willing to be obedient to do it? Trust Him in all things. Seek Him through His word. Ask Him in prayer for wisdom. Love Him with all your heart. Obey Him in every area. Obedience to God's will isn't always easy, but it is always the right path to take. Let's pray. Father, I am sure that in some way, each of us is seeking a word from you about what your will is regarding certain situations or certain events, certain life circumstances that is happening to us right now. We want to know with clarity what your direction is. May we trust you. We may not be certain about that direction, but we can be certain that if we follow you, you will never, never, never lead us astray. Your moral will is always the right thing to do. Your sovereign will is about your control of everything, that ultimately the things that will take place are for your glory. Your individual, all three of those, your moral, your individual, your sovereign will, are about giving you glory in some way. May we be obedient. May we hear what you have to say. If there's sin in our life that makes it unclear for us to hear what you are saying, to direct us, I pray that we might repent. And so again, come and ask you by faith that you might reveal to us what we want, what you want for us to do. But it begins with a relationship with you. We can ask all we want about what your will is, but if we have never had a personal relationship with you through your Son, it will be impossible for us to understand. Your will for us begins with our salvation. So if there is someone here this morning who has never placed their trust in Christ, today is the day that they should. And then so be on that journey of discovering what your will is so that you can get praise. Work through us and in us, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.